On that note, I'm going to open it up for questions. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Robin Wilson. I'm a director at Byte Communications. I work for Apple and Facebook and a few others. I always wondered, how do you... You were talking about engagement. How do you quantify engagement in social media?
Well, I think, again, that kind of goes back to my opening remarks is about engagement. I think for every different social media site, it's going to be different. Obviously, the level of engagement of an average blogger user may be a bit different from the average YouTube user or LinkedIn or Facebook. I know I have a MySpace account and a Facebook account. I check my MySpace probably daily because I have a lot of friends and family in the U.S. that are on that, so I share, you know, a lot of valuable day-to-day family information there. My Facebook, probably once every few days, and my LinkedIn, once every quarter, or when I'm looking for a new job, which I'm not right now, so I'm fine. But, you know, so it's very different with different social media sites. And I think because anything that you class as social media is going to have a different objective, there's going to be a different measure of engagement to that. I mean, you might find that is somebody that reads a blog every single day but never comments more valuable than somebody who's, you know, reading, logging in once a quarter and just, you know, adding their two pence in more valuable? So it's kind of, I think, again, going back to what your objectives are as a corporation or, you know, what your ad model is or your revenue model is and see, you know, how are we going to be able to best quantify that, you know, to make sure that we're getting enough money to keep running the site. So, but again, I think it's always, you know, best to kind of have everything independently audited so that you know all your figures are on the even keel. And then once you've established that, I think it's to kind of look at, all right, you know, what are our key performance indicators on here? You know, what's the purpose of this site? You know, what would we define as engagement? And again, as I just said, I think then looking at a scoring system so that, you know, maybe somebody that comes in and uses the site, you know, three times a day and they're constantly interacting, you know, with blogs or videos or other users, you know, you'd call that very engaged, where, you know, you might have somebody that kind of goes in once a fortnight as not very engaged. And, I mean, then there are other metrics of unregistered users to registered users, you know, conversions, et cetera. Eric Peterson just recently did a talk for NEDSTAT. And you can actually download the presentation from the NEDSTAT site for free, which, I don't know, is quite a contentious subject with our marketing department. But it's free to download, and it actually gives you there a metric for measuring engagement. And it looks quite complex. I'll have to admit, I'm definitely nowhere near Eric Peterson's level of genius as far as measuring engagement, but it's a really good place to start.
Engagement, anyone out there who wants to know more about engagement as well, if you Google for the Big Book of Metrics, I'm not sure who the author is, it might be Peterson, it might be Jim Stern, but it's got a whole section on engagement metrics, and this is a well-trodden path, and if there was like an out-and-out web analytics person here, they'd be doing a bit of a kind of doo, because it's already been done. There's loads of good stuff there. Also around blogs, there's a conversational index, which is a bit of a ratio about the level of commenting you get per post. So there are, and you know, for the social networks, you could think about whether, as you said, uploading a photo is an engagement. So it's on a kind of bespoke level. But thank you very much for the question, Robin. It was very kind of you.
Hi, Matt O'Neill of Cordovan Digital. I'm just going to pose this question to anybody who might be able to offer an opinion about it. Has anybody looked at network mapping as a metric in this area? Because it's something that I keep hearing more and more about. And I'd just like to hear anybody's opinion.
We did a campaign based on, again, this was Facebook related. We expanded it to LinkedIn. It was a lot to do with kind of mapping people as nodes, socially mapping them across, working out key nodes of influence, people who are important, relevant, etc. The difficulty with all of this is that we have a very, very small subset of data, despite it feeling very, very large. A couple of reports came out recently about social networking usage. I think Philippines topped the list, followed by Hungary, followed by Poland, China having more bloggers than the US, but yet we focus on a very, very small subset of these users. And the issue with social networking at the moment and social network mapping is a lot to do with privacy, etc. So we're getting there, and we're starting to find some of the theories that have been borne out, especially around influencers, which we're trying to track and work out relevant metrics for. But it's not an easily trodden path because of a number of issues, including the likes of privacy, data availability, things like that. So we think it's the way to go because we think that it starts to reflect real life behavior in a kind of an online setting. So a lot of the nuances and subtleties that Will's referring to, we feel you can start to get at if you start to understand the implied relationships. So in an app we did called Socialistics, you're able to define who is popular amongst your network, a very simple metric. But even having that ability allowed you to gain some relevance towards the users you're interacting with. So yes, it's possible, and I think more and more work is being done in that area.
On that one, there's a guy called Fleming Madsen that has a company called Analytica who do stuff like this. I don't know if you've heard him talk, but he talks really convincingly, and it's a useful bit of knowledge just to share, about the difference between popularity and influence. And I think it's easy for us to think that the person with 500 Facebook friends is therefore more influential than the person with 180 Facebook friends. But what these guys who are more sophisticated about network mapping can help you start to understand is not how many people are listening to that one person, but how influential they then are. Because it can be, and Fleming's got a lovely graph that kind of shows it, it can be that if you kind of whisper to the right five people, that message gets amplified and carried much further than if you go straight to someone who's got a deep or a kind of broad but shallow network. So they've got loads and loads of connections, but none of those connections give a toss about them because they're just collecting connections. And I heard a talk by a guy from LinkedIn recently who was saying just that. He said that we've got people that... I said, what's the most amount of connections anyone's got? It's a bit of a schoolboy question, but it's like... and he said 35,000, but he said it's an absolutely useless network. There's no value in that network. It's much more important, just like it is in real life, to know five useful people than tons. So remember influence and popularity. It's a key principle.
Question over there.
Hi, I'm Ivan Salcedo from Nesta, so I'm more on the kind of client end of all this. Measuring is one thing, and you say kind of defining success on each campaign term, you know, you define success each time, but how far away do you think are we from establishing some form of benchmark metrics for all of these?
5 to 10 years probably. If you think we're probably at the same stage that online advertising was in 1995, and it really took until sort of 2002, 2003 for that sort of that body of case study to actually get clients to buy into the fact that online advertising had a branding effect over a direct response effect, for example.
A benchmark for what, really, I think is the question. I mean, what are we benchmarking here? It's so broad.
If you're benchmarking the success of one campaign against another campaign, and you know, in order to benchmark that success, you need a body of case studies to measure that success against and work out what was more effective than others. And from that, you can draw generic conclusions about, you know, the power of social media marketing, for want of a better word, over the power of other things. And I saw that happen with online advertising. It was, you know, companies like Dynamic Logic, you know, built up that body of work, and those case studies were able to, you know, to draw some quite interesting conclusions from it.
I think there's definitely a market in it. I don't think you're going to struggle to find suppliers who are willing to benchmark the quality of results in social media. I think the difficulty is you'll end up simplifying what is in reality far more useful information for the simplification and the easy marketability of having a benchmark. So I think whilst this might be 5 or 10 years away, it'll effectively be a rip-off service for what you can actually gain, because you can gain far, far more exciting information that is more assistive to your brand than a simple marketing measurement. Hence, we're suggesting that this involves both the CMO, the CEO, and the MD, everybody all in one, because it affects your brand in far more significant ways.
If you're interested in that question, Mr. Nesta, then come to Measurement Camp. It's free, open. We meet in London. I want to get the buzz monitoring firms to agree on a universal thing that they measure. I don't care how they measure it, because that's their USP. But we're trying to bring together these strands so that people do have a clearer idea. I don't think it's 5 to 10 years at all. I think it's more like 18 months to 36 months.
I mean, following on from what Will's saying, I agree with that. It depends on what sort of metrics that you're trying to measure. I mean, if you're going to compare campaign A with campaign B, then you can benchmark that very easily now in terms of the level of buzz volume or the increase in volume compared to what you had before, the sentiment behind that in terms of, you know, positivity, negativity, and so on. So in some ways, it's already here and it's very easy. But I think in the more sort of more complex areas, then, you know, it is a longer way away. But, you know, I echo what Will's saying about the measurement camp. I think if you are interested in that, that's something that hopefully we can try and sort of work on together.
Okay, in the middle there.
Hiya. I think it's interesting what Robin was saying. I mean, he said that probably we're 5 or 10 years away. I think back 5 or 10 years ago, and when we were looking at measurement, it was very much for campaigns. How many people go to your site? How many unique users? How many people register? How many people give an email address? How many people opt in? Then over the more recent years, we've been saying, actually, it's more complicated than that. Now it sort of depends on your needs. What you guys are saying here is, actually, it all depends on your needs. So in the old sad days, we were saying to clients, well, there's this basic stuff. You can grab a hold of that. You know, these are the measures. And then we educated them and we took them on their journey with us. But now you're already jumping them to the point of, it all depends what you need. There is no baseline to judge against. So, I mean, I work in an agency. I'm looking to sell this stuff. Everything you're saying appeals to me because I want to sell these opportunities to my clients. How do I go to my clients and say, this is the basics of it, and this is how we specify it for you, when everything is, it needs to be defined based on your need?
I think you summarize the answer. You describe to them the complexity and the evolution and the story, the journey that they're going to go on with you, but at the same time, transparently and openly, you help them pick from one of those nuts and bolts, or a couple of those nuts and bolts KPIs, like I was saying earlier. So one of our prospective clients is the Carbon Disclosure Project, and they're a kind of invisible but very powerful organisation in helping big businesses become more green. And one of the measurables they have already, nothing to do with social media or digital marketing, is how many citations they have in Google. So how many times Google says there's an article out there about them. And if they wanted to, I could describe to them that it's very complicated and blah, blah, blah. But if you want, if this is a key measurable for you, then let's see if we can improve that number. So I think it's about being really open with the clients and just saying, you know, let's pick some nuts and bolts. Let's pick how many times the site's been bookmarked and delicious, or, I don't know, sales. It doesn't look like, from your face, like that was a very convincing answer.
Hello? Oh, okay, it's working. So, yeah, I mean, I just add to that. I mean, the 5 to 10 years thing is about benchmarking, i.e. having benchmarks to know how successful different campaigns are. In terms of individual client projects, because we're all doing that, we're in the thick of it at the moment, it is about, you know, thinking it through and setting some sensible KPIs that you think the client will like to achieve and that you can achieve with your campaign. It's not rocket science.
Actually, I was just going to say really quickly to field that. One thing that I've noticed working across different industries in my time in marketing, one thing I noticed is that we actually had different objectives with the different businesses. So when I was with publishing, you know, my big objective was to get impressions because we wanted to make sure that, you know, users were consuming all of our content, they were on the site for a while, you know, and they were just banking impressions. We were selling, you know, on an ad-based model. So, and then we were just trying to get as many ads out there as possible. Whereas, you know, if I was doing something with a job site, I was on the e-commerce end of that. I had to look for people that were going to be booking jobs onto our site because we had a revenue model. So I think, I mean, as an agency with each of your clients, they're all going to have different objectives. And I think about, you know, 5, 8 years ago, it was very easy to say, well, you know, we'll look at the visits, we'll look at the impressions, and we'll look at the uniques. And I mean, still, that's still a nice core metric just to get an idea of where your site is. But then when, you know, I think online web usage has become incredibly sophisticated in an incredibly short span of time. The average online user is so much more sophisticated now than they were 8 years ago. I mean, when you look at home broadband penetration for the UK, it's massive. So, I mean, you know, the demands of these users, I think, are going to be a lot more sophisticated. Therefore, you know, the providers, the clients, the agencies also have now a lot more demand on them to measure this, you know, to see what's working and what's not and being able to act quickly. Because there's so many different, I think, types of sites out there, types of engagement out there, it does now almost seem like you can either do it as an industry or as a bespoke by company or client or website basis. So, and I think it's then about setting objectives, setting KPIs, understanding the target audience, but also looking at stuff like halo effect, overlap, brand affinity, etc.
Hi, Sarah from the Foundry. I'm another agency. I totally agree with what you were saying. I think it is really really difficult when there's such a big, and apologies to any clients in the room, but there's such a big education process to ensure that, and there are some clients out there that get it and get it 100%, but there are a lot that don't. And someone that we may or may not work with has about 60, 70, 80,000 people viewing their ads on a channel on YouTube that they've not put there. The consumers have put them up because they like them. And that's fantastic. But they come to us and say, how do we get those people to click through to our website? But without really having an idea why. Why do you need, you know, why do you want them to click through to your website? Because that's how they're measured. They are measured by the amount of engagement that they get with their site. It's because their bosses, the marketing director has to report into someone and say, oh, look, aren't we doing really well? We've got this much traffic coming to our site, without really getting the fact that these people are engaging with your brand, irrelevant of whether you've created that content or not. It's still engagement. So it's really difficult.
No, I mean, I agree 100%. And one thing that recently I was at a meeting with Five, and they had said that they've just recently gone over to MySpace and, you know, they've got their own profile set up, because I think it's just clicked that they're like, you know, the internet is no longer just about, you know, bringing users to your site. It's about having them, you know, interact with your brand where they're at, which essentially is what offline marketing does. You know, you're not like, oh my gosh, this is Sony. We're going to bring everyone to our store. They're going to hang out there, have a fantastic party, get loaded, bring their mates over, shag on the carpets. That doesn't happen. You know, people are going to go into the Sony store, buy a friggin' CD player, and bring it home. And then you'll see them again because they tell their friends about it. And that's essentially what social media is. You know, they're essentially taking their brand to where they're comfortable, and they're engaging, they're discussing, they're, you know, showing, they're referring. They're even just having it there as product placement. You know, when you look at avatars that have the brands on there, I think anybody who's got, on a Second Life... I don't have a Second Life, and, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I know it's Second Life. You know, there's a lot of brands that sit quite comfortably in Second Life. And, I mean, they're not expecting, like, oh, they've bought a pair of sneakers, you know, in Second Life, but why aren't they coming to our store? I think the brand is quite content to be engaged with on that level. And I think, unfortunately, isn't it, and it is a complete education process of having them understand how Web 2.0 works. I mean, do any of the clients either of you have ever used Viral, or do you... as an agency, offer Viral? I mean, have you ever had a hard time telling, you know, the clients, all right, we're going to end up taking a ton of money off of you, and we're going to be able to measure it as such? I mean, how have those clients been? Are they pretty turned on about it, or they thought it was cool, and that, so they were happy to blow like a minimum of 30K on that and just say, well, we don't really care what happens after that?
Then it's incumbent on the agency to educate them about this new thing. I don't understand. You seem to be throwing your hands up and saying we don't know what to measure, but it's clear that it's a knowledge gap then, isn't it? And that's our role, and always has been our role, to take...
I totally agree. I just think there needs to be a kind of wider industry-led...
But that's the thing, is everything that you have going on online now, everything that's out there can be measured, period. I mean, anything and everything you want. I mean, up to, depending on, you know, what form your Viral takes... Even, you know, if you have, like, a self-contained player with your Viral, you can actually measure that now.
We're finding it's scary, though. It's scary for the agencies as well, because they're in this position now where you're being held accountable in positions you weren't previously being held accountable. And we deal direct with clients and with agencies. And what the agencies are finding is now you can measure everything. Everything is data. And suddenly those banner ads aren't looking as attractive as having a social media application that's attracting 20, 40, 50,000 users.
See, I don't agree with that at all. One of the companies I worked with, we worked with an agency, and we had a cross-media advertising plan. I mean, we spent hundreds of millions of pounds a year online. We had a huge OLM, online media for banner advertising everywhere, and we put a lot of money into search. We did a Viral as well. And one thing we noticed, because what we'd started to do, we were looking not only... I mean, it's the ad mix as a total package. It's not just putting stuff into social media. It's not just about putting stuff into search, because you're going to have post-view impressions.
Agreed, yeah, absolutely. But it's that cross-measurability. So now your ability to measure those banner ads alongside the social media application across the board.
But that's fantastic. If anything, completely. You end up getting more money, because you're... What we had noticed, we had basically done the tipping point as an experiment over 1 year, where we made sure we never made it past one. So we got the entire perfect balance on our online media campaign, our online media mix. And then what we had started to do is we said, all right, after the 1 year of doing that, we said, all right, let it go. Spend as, you know, we now know exactly how much we can get away with spending. That's our baseline. And, you know, we just did this with the help of our agency at the time. This is obviously before Nedstat. And what we'd found is later is that, you know, you'd find that some of them would get this huge ROI, and we'd have, you know, some ads providers that would end up dipping below. And for, you know, a couple of months, we'd take them out, and we'd notice the entire house of cards would fall to shit. So we'd have to basically put those back on, even though they weren't all going, you know, over one ROI, but they all helped each other. I mean, it was a holistic view of advertising. It wasn't just one element that's going to make it work.
It's a bit of a tangent, but for years, as long as I've been in digital, I've been selling against TV advertising and above-the-line campaigns. But I was amazed. I was at a Dublin search engine conference, and all the search engine guys now are talking about how TV advertising then drives results online. And it's almost like TV is getting a kind of ROI rebirth as people realise that house of cards. Yeah, so unfortunately.
Just going back to your question before, I mean, we're a vendor, and we have a similar issue with you when we go to clients and so on. They like the idea of social media measuring it, but they don't really, okay, it sounds great, sounds sexy, don't quite understand, you know, what should I be doing? I mean, it's very sort of 101, to borrow an American phrase. I mean, we will just go in there and say, you know, we can measure, say, 7 key metrics, whether it's volume, you know, reach, sentiment, influence, and so on. Just very, keep it very top line, very simple. And then from that, you know, you give them working examples and so on. And from that, the sort of, you know, you can see the light bulbs start to go on. You know, it's like, well, okay, if we did this, you know, could you measure this sort of thing? And from that, it's sort of a discussion that often doesn't take, you know, more, can be in that particular meeting, or it can be, you know, a follow-up meeting and so on. It's sort of, if you just explain the basics very early on, very simple, keep it really obvious, then we've found, you know, we've had a lot of traction with that going forward. Just, you know, just very simple.
Yeah, Paul Bay, Citizen Sound. I'm actually an ex-client, so hopefully I can add a little perspective from those horrible clients who know... who know very little. Just give you a perspective from a client side. As I said, I'm not a client anymore, but just from a client side. The client is probably now, 2008, bombarded with not one agency, creative advertising agency, not two, creative and media or PR, but about 500 different kinds of agencies all offering all sorts of different kinds of services. So, client, a little bit confused, I would presume, right now, having to deal with it. Number two, they got another pressure, which is now all of a sudden these guys called procurement are in the space, which is kicking them into touch every 2 minutes, saying, give us ROI measures, give us ROI measures, prove the value of every single thing you do, which is why they're moving out of certain kinds of communication into ones that they supposedly can measure. What I'm stunned by today is the conversation. What I really like, I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Look, second
guy in. Yourself.
Daisy.
Hi, Daisy. Well, Daisy's talked a hell of a lot of sense in terms of saying this is not complicated, and yourself from Nielsen has said this is not rocket science. It should be really flipping easy. What I can't understand why is that in a world where it should be so easy to come up with quick measures, something that not only marketing guys can get their heads around, but finance guys, because they're also the ones who count in this. They're the ones who are pushing the marketing guys for the ROI measures. Marketing guys going, oh, I don't understand all that. I need something to measure. It's actually, finance guys are not idiots. They're quite simple people to talk to. You come up with a very justified approach, 5 steps or 10 steps of measuring, just to get the ball rolling. And that's why I love the idea of the measurement camp. It's fantastic. Just to get something going, is every client will buy into that. Yeah, they might not know all of the answers, but I also agree that you can't just put your hands up and say it should be it's bloody clients. The agencies also just have to go, yeah, we have to commit jointly and stop defending our own territories and just get on with it and come up with something quick. Because remembering that the whole TV industry has been built on just a bunch of people sitting in a room clicking a button, and they may or may not be watching telly. Yeah. I mean, for God's sake, they've done quite well for the last 50 years, so it should be quite easy for you guys to sort something out.
Any response?
Yeah, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying. I mean, social media, from our perspective, is something very, very measurable and very tangible, and whether you're whatever you know, marketing or PR campaigns you're undertaking, we feel very strongly that we can measure how successful that was based on a number of different metrics. I think the hardest part of my job, which was helping to launch the Buzz Metrics side of the business in the UK, is just explaining to people how you go about it and what you can do with it. And it's very, very difficult. And that's nothing to do with the intelligence levels of the people that you're speaking to. It's just trying to take, particularly from our perspective, and we are different from the other guys in terms of how the technology works, how complex that is, and so on. We're obviously trying to sell our products, but we're also, along with the Word of Mouth UK, trying to actually educate people about the whole industry and so on. And it is something that's very difficult, and it's something that we are trying to improve at. So, you know, any suggestions from the client side will be greatly received.
I think, again, this kind of goes down to, you know, what each department's working against with ROI. Another thing that Eric Peterson has discussed, and it's something that we also work on at Netstat, is KPI dashboards, so that every different department... Oh, I thought you were going to laugh at me. I always go on about our KPI dashboards. But basically, every different department will have a different set of KPIs to work towards. And I mean, obviously, all of them will be focusing on a return that is relevant to them. So obviously with finance, they want to see a definite return on investment. So, and a lot of that, I think, I mean, what we do, at least as an analytics provider, is work with the companies to do that. We basically will sit with you and try and figure out what your key performance indicators are and what other departments are working with your online budget, because obviously it's a lot different now than it was, you know, 8 years ago. I remember I used to work with no budget, and I would work on everything on a contra basis, whereas, you know, as I just said, I was working with, like, you know, hundreds of millions of pounds to put in and have to draw an ROI out of. So, I mean, I think it depends on, you know, who you're working with your analytics. Like, that really sounds salesy, and I'm very sorry. But, I mean, a lot of times, it's either with your analytics or with your agency. I mean, the agency I've worked at before when I was doing the House of Cards tipping point thing was... they actually worked very hard with us as well for reporting a definite return. It was a huge case study of theirs to see what post-view and post-click activity was, and they were very happy to work with us. I think we were also a very clued-up client, and when you're not as clued-up, I think it's either, you know, learning to trust an agency that you're working with or to start looking at analytics providers or consultancy.
Sorry. Last question.
I think, sorry, it's probably more of a point than a question, actually. I'm Chris Reed from Fishburne Hedges. And it's just fantastic to hear these discussions happening, because these are the same discussions that have been happening in the PR industry for so, so long. How do you justify your existence, basically? And my point is a very simple one, but the central thing that I keep coming back to, and I've had the privilege of working with a couple of people on the platform, is you give your clients what they want to present to their bosses. That's basically it. Find out what that is. Get the data in, and then demonstrate it. I see some nodding people there, so I don't know if that's a question or a statement or what, but there we go.
No, I definitely say I'd have to agree with that. And as I said at the very beginning, I think that, you know, the one thing I think we need to focus on is also just looking at third-party independent auditing, so that everything's audited, so that we have something, you know, that we can say, you know, these figures are legitimate. So, because I think a lot of times what you have is a lot of people that are like, oh, we've got this in-house tool that we've made. And, you know, I think as long as things can be audited or worked with, like, ABC Electronic or something, I'm happy with that.
I think following on from Chris's point is that actually when you're able to demonstrate this stuff, and going back to, I think, what Sarah was saying, the minute you're able to demonstrate it, the education piece becomes X amount easier, because you've shown that it's all measurable, it's possible, and it works. And the minute you've got over that, the education piece comes on and your next client's ready to roll in and you can show it. So we're at a very early stage in a very kind of new concept to this industry. So we're getting there.
Benjamin Lehman, I work for Bowers & Wilkins. I just wondered to what extent you think that polling people in social networks is a useful activity. So once you've created a community, to what extent can you actually monetize that, or, you know, gain some ROI apart from selling them a product? What other things can you do with them?
So, did you say polling?
Yeah, polling or surveys, that kind of thing.
Have you heard, it's a bit of a cliche on the circuit, but have you heard of the IdeaStorm website by Dell? So Dell IdeaStorm applies the principles of a wiki. So a wiki is a web page that anyone can edit. And what we have with wikis is, if we have a substantial community behind a wiki, then we can create fantastic resources without doing any work, okay? So Ideastorm is a website that allows anyone to log in and register very quickly for free and then submit an idea to Dell to say, I want Dell to make product XYZ. So I want Dell to make pink fluffy mice, or I want Dell to make a standard laptop cable for all their different laptops. And what they do by the business benefits that flow from that are customers that feel they're being listened to. Then on the website, the community behind it can either vote up or vote down each idea. And so the good ideas rise to the top, the cream rises to the top. So it's an exercise in outsourcing the job of R&D and product development to the people that are actually going to then buy the products. So I would say go further than polling. Polling, you know, say to people, what do you love about these products? What do you hate? What is a no-brainer? We work with a client who makes stair lifts, of all things. And a product design company working for them a few years ago videotaped these elderly people using the stair lifts in the home. And there was this video of this old guy with these tiny little keys, his hand shaking as he's trying to get this tiny little key in a tiny little key slot so that you can use his stair lift to go to the bathroom. And it's kind of like finding ways in this web world to eke out the no-brainer feedback from the community in a really pure and simple, lean, frictionless way. So that would be a good thing to do. I was thinking of a nice way to round it off, but I couldn't, sorry.
Just very quickly, I mean, I can't get into too much detail because we're out of time, but, you know, polling, focus groups, all that sort of thing, I don't see any need for that in the social media ecosystem. The answer to almost every question, what people are saying about your brand, it's all there in the, you know, the millions of conversations that are happening.
Okay, I'm going to ask everybody to round up with one last sentence, starting at that end.
Okay. It didn't come up today, but tomorrow at 6 o'clock, we are doing a webinar on building brand advocacy with one of the leading exponents of CGM, a guy called Pete Blackshaw. He's an amazing character. He's got a lot of insight about this area. So I think if any of you have any interest about gaining competitive advantage through influence and building brand advocacy, you should dial into this. You can either come and see me, get my card, and I'll drop you the details, or on the netratings.com website, there's a little link on the bottom right-hand corner with a megaphone that says webinar. It will be very, very interesting indeed.
Yeah, I'd just say, I mean, there aren't any easy answers at the moment, but I think that's what makes it really interesting and really exciting and a really exciting time to be doing this sort of stuff.
I guess the big thing I'd like to just say is that everything out there online right now is measurable, and I think it's up to you or your clients to decide what you need to measure. And also to go into the NEDSTITE site and pick up the Eric Peterson paper. Sorry, just thought I'd...
I would say don't put it off. Do something small. Start tomorrow. Measure whatever you can measure. Learn. All the people that are getting the best business, profound ROI just started learning quicker than we did. And so you need to get in the game.
To round it off, I think just everything's data. It's all out there. Everything about your customers is all there. Just go find it and have some fun with it now.
Chinwag Live, measuring social media at Internet World in London on April 30th, 2008, was sponsored by Huddle and NEDSTAT.